And Lily's going to come. Lily Stang is going to come and read from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, starting at verse 12.
1 Corinthians chapter 12, 1:12-20. It's on page 822 in your pew Bible, if you have one in front of you. The body is a unit, though it is made up of many parts. And though all its parts are many, they form one body. It is with Christ. So it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body. Whether Jews or Greeks, free or slave, we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Now the body is not made of one part, but of many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. And if the eye should say, because I am not an eye, for if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has arranged the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. And if they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body.
Keep your Bibles open to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We'll be taking a look at some of those verses, and we'll actually continue to go beyond what Lily read to a few more verses as well in a bit. I want to talk about why we are many and yet why we are one. I may have shared this illustration before. You know, when you've been a pastor for 35 years, sometimes you start recycling some of your illustrations, whatever. You never know when you used it. And so if you've heard it before, well, hopefully it'll just speak to you again. It is a true story about what happened in a Boston residence. And it was during the days of the Korean War. And in that particular home, the phone rang, and the mother picked up the phone to hear these exciting words. Hi, Mom, I'm coming home. Immediately, she recognized her son's voice, who was a serviceman serving in Korea. He was phoning from San Diego. He was on his way home. His mother was just thrilled with joy to know that he was alive, he was well. And then her son said, Mom, I'm bringing home a buddy with me. I just want you to know that. He's someone I care for more than I can say. He was hurt very badly. He's only got one eye, one arm, one leg. He's got no home, and I want him to come home and live with us. And his mother replied, sure, he can live with us for a while. We'd be glad to have him for a bit. And her son replied by saying, Mom, you don't understand. I want him to be with us, to stay with us. He needs us because he only has one eye, one arm, one leg. Your mother replied, son, I think you're getting a little too emotional. That boy will be a real hindrance to us, but we don't mind having him for just a bit till you've settled down. And the phone hung up. Later that day, they received a telegram from the naval office, and it was the announcement that their son had jumped to his death from the 12th floor of a hotel in San Diego. When the body was shipped home, they discovered he had one eye, one arm, one leg. It's a moving story. Because what that boy was saying in his own way was, will you accept me as I am? Will you accept me with what I've got? And will you accept me with what I don't have? Can I just be safe and accepted by you? I'm sure he was wrestling with the fact that he had a difficulty accepting himself. probably felt deeply inadequate and insecure. Unfortunately, there are many people outside the church and sometimes inside the church who feel inferior, who feel insecure. But the Bible says that God has given us His Spirit and indwelt us and done something very unique with our lives. As we look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and I hope you have your Bible open to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, there's a reference to the work of the baptism of the Holy Spirit that causes us to be joined into a new union, a new position in Jesus, whereby we become His beloved and a group with the beloved. We have a number of very basic needs. One is the need for significance. And that's why He's given us the gifts of the Spirit, so we can be significant for God. But we also have the need for security. So He's given us the completeness of His Holy Spirit and placed us within a body of Christ, which we commonly refer to as the church, so that we belong. And there should be a sense of security in that belongingness. It is a beautiful and essential doctrine that we all need. We need to take a good close look at that. Because of where I want to go with 1 Corinthians 12, I won't have a lot of time to focus on this one topic by itself. I'm using this as a foundation. I'm going to go a little bit farther into the other verses. Next Sunday, we're going to go somewhere else. We're going to look at the nature of what relationships are like, because we're preparing our hearts for a special weekend coming up when Dr. Rob Lowe will minister to us on the whole biblical theme of being a biblical community, what that means. When the Bible says He has baptized me by the Holy Spirit of God and placed me into Christ, into the special body, He's saying, you're in. You belong. By nature, as sinners, we are removed, ostracized, in a sense, from real intimacy with people and from God. There are things that block our fellowship, our intimacy with each other and with God. In fact, the Bible says in Ephesians 2, we were dead in our trespasses and sins, and then something happened. He says He made us alive together in Christ and gave us of His Spirit completely and fully, that we may drink of His Spirit and be in a body. It's referred to Spirit baptism. Look at verse 13. For we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body. That Spirit baptism is simply the act by which the Lord Jesus Christ transplants His life into the life of a seeker who wants to believe and who's saying, I believe, I want to belong to You. So Spirit baptism is that act by which the Lord Jesus Christ transplants His life into the life of a new believer by placing His Spirit into the life of that new believer. And so a new believer immersed, placed into the life of Christ, is immersed and indwelt by Christ. And in so doing, is also immersed into and placed into a body. So, who gets to experience this? I want you to look at verse 13 again. We were all baptized by one Spirit into one body. Notice the word, we were all, every believer, all. What I find interesting, this verse is not written to the church at Ephesus. Ephesus, what a great church the Ephesians were. You would think he would say, you know what, looking by your life, I know you're baptized in the Holy Spirit. You would think maybe he could have used it when he wrote the church at Philippi and said, you know, you Philippian church, I've got so many good things to say to you and about you to others. You guys must be baptized by the Holy Spirit. Oh, there's a church at Colossae. What an awesome church at Colossae, the Colossians. I can just hear God say, you know what? What evidence there is to all that you've been baptized in the Holy Spirit of God. You've all been made to drink of one Spirit. But that's not who he wrote. This was written to the, of all churches, the Corinthian church. The one church, you would not expect him to say that. If somehow we want to judge by maturity of Christians that you've been baptized in the Spirit of God. But the baptism of the Spirit is not the experience of super spiritual mature Christians. It is an experience of all believers that first of all makes us Christians. How we respond and grow, that's another issue. How we drink in the Spirit, that's another whole topic. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1, brothers, I could not address you as spiritual, but as worldly. They were factional. They were obsessed with lawsuits. They were tolerant of sexual sin. They got drunk at the Lord's table. And yet, he said, you've all, look at the Corinthian church, you've all been baptized by the Spirit of God, every one of you. It's not a conditional act. It's a universal act, but it's not a conditional act. Well, if you do this and you do this and you're good enough and you grow enough, I'll baptize you in the Spirit. No, there are other works of the Spirit that come following what he has done to place us into Christ and into the body. There are other words, other terms, other expressions for that. But he is very clear that everyone who calls on Jesus has received and been placed into Jesus, into the body of Christ. And it refers to that as the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now that has had a lot of different views out there under Christendom. It started in the Middle Ages when the Catholic Church taught that you receive your salvation when you baptize a baby, and later on when you're confirmed, you get the Holy Spirit. And that really there's a two-stage thing about becoming a child of God. John Wesley grappled with that two-stage thing, and it has gone on and on. I don't have time to go into that history. But we got to come back and see what the Bible says. It says, no, it is a one-stage thing. By the way, John Wesley, who taught this two-stage thing, first you sort of get saved, but then you need another experience that brings you to the next level of spiritual living where you live abundantly. At his deathbed, he himself admitted he had never experienced the second stage. That fullness was given at first, but then we go through our lives allowing the Spirit to come and work deeply, anoint us, fill us, all kinds of things. If you want to call baptized, it doesn't matter. I'm not going to argue about words, but I'm just saying that initial act when I call on Jesus is what places me, immerses me into his life and into the body so that of one Spirit we may all drink. Allow him to do his work. It is that initial act. And it's in the past tense. You were baptized. And it's in the aorist tense, which means it's done once for all, not to be repeated. Once you become, ask Jesus to come to your heart, you're in. You're his child. You have his Spirit. You don't need to come back and ask him again to receive his Spirit. You've received it. It's your response to it. That's another issue. But we've all been baptized, if we are believers, have been baptized by the Spirit of God into Jesus, into that one body called the church. As a result, there is a new union. We've been placed into the body. And there's a new position. I am in with Jesus. I belong. I belong. I am accepted. So as we look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, there are quickly three basic truths I want to bring out. The first is this. Because of Jesus, number one, we belong. We belong. I'm in. I'm accepted. I'm in. I belong. Oh, there were others who manifested various spiritual gifts. In 1 Corinthians 12, of all the various places, there's four different places where we basically focus on the manifestation of the Spirit through special workings and gifts and etc. In 1 Corinthians 12, he seems to highlight some of the more visible ones because those are the ones that the Corinthians were just so high on. The healings, the miracles. Being apostolic, being prophetic. But he said, we aren't all like that. Not everyone is an apostle. Not everyone is a prophet. And he goes on and on to explain. But we still belong. Just because I don't have your experience doesn't mean that maybe I'm not quite in. I'm in. I'm in. I belong. This is for all people. It says, whether Jews, Greeks, slave or free. It's not just for a certain type of people. Everyone needs Jesus. In the moment anyone calls on Jesus, they're in. They belong. You may be from different walks of life, various interests, various differing abilities. But the moment you say yes to Jesus, you're in. You're all in. You belong. I just want to make a reference to something that I don't understand. And I did not have the time this week to really investigate it. Yeah, there is something just intrigues me. Maybe as you go home, you may want to look at that verse and say, maybe I'll find the answer and I'll tell Pastor Art. I would love that. It's verse 12. There's something that intrigues me. The body is a unit. Though it is made up of many parts, and though all its parts are many, they form one, so it is with Christ. That's what intrigues me. You would think it would say, so it is with the church. But he says, no, so it is with Christ. And that intrigues me, just exactly what he means by that. Because I can understand what he means when he says, well, that's what the church is like. Many parts, but one body. But that's how it is with Jesus. Not the church, but with Jesus. So, there's something in that I'm trying to be technical that I'm not quite getting, so you spend some time thinking about it and you phone me up this week. Let me know what it means. Body is a unit, though it is made up of many parts. Though all its parts are many. Anybody recognize what this is? It's a puzzle. What's it a picture of? Well, come on. What's it a picture of? A sunset. Okay. Oh, he always has an answer. A puzzle is made up of many parts. Last number of years, I've discovered something. If you would have said this 5 years ago, I would have laughed at you. I have started enjoying puzzles. Of all things. Hello? That's what you're doing in your senior's home. You got nothing to do. You know, you got all these puzzles laid out and you've got 5 free hours till supper. And so that's what you do. And suddenly, I am doing puzzles, these 1,000-piece puzzles, and I have discovered that it calms me down. I come home at the end of the day, and I just take half an hour or whatever, and I just sit there, and I turn my little lamp on, and it just brings me right down. My wife doesn't talk to me. She knows I'm in my zone. I'm quiet. I'm thinking. I'm just enjoying something, and I have discovered that it's what brings me down, settles me at the end of a day. And I'm grateful I have discovered that. I found a way to calm myself down. Because when I come home and I watch TV, when I'm done, I'm still riled up. All the news, all the sports, and it's just like I need something to go, whew. That's what puzzles do to me. I've discovered. This is only a part by itself is not the whole. A part is meant to work with other parts. You are a part. You are not the whole. You need other parts to experience the whole and create the whole. You will not find a store that has a huge sale on puzzles. Sale! New puzzles. Each box has one piece missing. Won't sell. Won't sell. Unless it has every part. And that's why I hesitate to buy used puzzles. Because if I go to all that work and I find there's a piece missing, look out, I just lost my cool, my calm. It ain't a puzzle. It's not a picture. There's one piece missing. Every part is needed. Every part is needed. Same is true with the church. If you're not doing your part, there's a hole. I want you to know there's a hole. Oh, but it's not the important part. It doesn't have to be important part, but if there's a puzzle and has one hole missing, it could just be part of a cloud in the top. That's all you see. All you see is the hole. You can't appreciate the picture because there's a hole. Something's missing. It's not whole. Friends, we need all of us working together to create community, to experience wholeness. And when there's a part missing, there's not wholeness. But every part needs another part to create the whole. And every part is needed. Oh, I'm not needed. This is just, this is from a winter scene. This is a snow and bottom part of a train. Not sunset. Sorry, there it gets. Something happened in January 1986. A spacecraft Challenger went into space. 73 seconds later, it exploded and 7 crew members went into eternity. What caused the explosion? An O-ring. Little O-ring. Little round O-ring. That cost 99 cents to make. It may have sold for $5 in the store, but it cost 99 cents to make this thing. That O-ring. Because NASA was under a timeline, they, you know, morning after morning, there's always some reason why they shouldn't blast off. Well, that costs money. You know, everybody's antsy. Let's get this thing going. So finally they go, okay, let's just go. And that particular morning, again, it was just below zero. It just got into freezing. 1 degree of freezing. And they were wondering, what if those O-rings get too cold? Will they keep the seal? But they were under pressure, so they fired off, and they, after much searching, narrowed it down and said it was that 99-cent O-ring. That O-ring could have said, hey, I'm nothing. This multi-million dollar project, and I'm 99 cents. Every part is needed to function properly to create a whole. You may be struggling and say, well, you know, I don't feel God. I don't seem to be growing. Not sure I'm living out my purpose. I don't know. Chances are you've removed yourself from the whole and you are a part. But a part is not meant to be a part. It's meant to be a part of the whole. It is there where you will discover in that sense of wholeness the gifts that God has given to the whole to continue to fill in your life what is needed. That's why we need each other. That's why we are reminding us all that we need that sense of community, that sense of togetherness that functions properly. And so this word tells us, I belong. There is a place for me. And I am an important part. Secondly, it also tells me you're different. I didn't say you're weird. I said you're different. I look at these puzzles. They're all a little different. You look at a piece and you go, okay, now that needs three. Okay, so I'm looking for three little extensions. But they're all a different configuration. They're all a little bit different. You got to find that just that right one. We all have different gifts. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 4. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. Different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God who works all of them in all men. All of us were made just a little bit different to fit together to create the whole. So you say, well, I'm just a little bit different. I don't know if I fit in. That's why you fit in. You fit in what's missing. You've been designed by God to fill in those areas that are missing. Yes, there is a place. Look at verse 19. If they were all one part, where would the body be? We need different parts, not just the one part. 21. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. Imagine if you were one big eyeball. Let's say I'm one part. I don't have all, I'm just one part. I am a 180-pound eyeball. That's all I am. I'm just a big cartoon eyeball. Somebody picks me up, brings me over to a ball game, puts me on the front bleachers between home base and first base. And there I sit, this huge eyeball, one part, and I'm enjoying the game. I'm just eyeballing everybody. And suddenly there's a line drive. And I have no hand to go like this. You go to a ball game, a professional ball game, it's amazing how many people come with gloves. If I had no hand, I'd be one huge shiner when that foul ball came at me. I'd be shining for Jesus, I'll tell you. We need all the parts. The whole needs all the parts to be whole, to be healthy. And so don't belittle yourself. Don't shortchange yourself. Well, I'm just whatever. Yeah, that's why we need you. That's why we need you. Look at verse 18. But in fact, God has arranged the parts in the body, every one of them, just as He wanted them to be. God knew what He was doing when He made you. Don't belittle yourself. You are one of a kind, given to be that essential part of the whole in this place. I'm going to show you what this puzzle looks like. There you go. Okay. Isn't that a beautiful picture? There it is. the whole puzzle. There it is, folks. I know you can't take your eye off of it. It's just beautiful. It's gorgeous. Well, it's all there. Here's the truth. Proximity does not equal connectivity. Oh yeah, we can all be together. But if we're not connected properly, this is all you get. The fact that we are sitting side by side doesn't mean we have community. Here's just a bunch of pieces of puzzle just in a pile. But it's what we do after as we start to connect and we find our place, and suddenly we start to get the picture, and suddenly we are created as part of the whole, and it becomes a winter scene of a train come pulling into a station. That's what this pile was meant to look like. But it will only look like that when proximity turns to connectivity. That's why we are preaching what the Bible teaches on that sense of building a biblical community. That's what God is in the process of doing in our fellowship. The first basic truth is you belong. The second basic truth is that you are different. And we need you as that unique part, as part of the whole. And thirdly and lastly, you are all equally valuable. Whether you're a 99-cent O-ring or a $1,000 piece of metal, everyone is equally valuable. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, look at verse 22 to 25. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable, and the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty. While our presentable parts need no special treatment, but God has combined the members of the body and has given greater honor to the parts that lacked it. So there should be no division in the body, that its parts have equal concern for each other. Look at verse 24. But in the middle of the verse, it starts with a new sentence, but, what does it say? But God has combined the members of the body. I like that. He has combined. And so as we are the different parts, but then as we are combined, we're connected. That's when we become God's picture to this community. That's when we minister to this community. That's when we minister best to each other. I was reading from J. Vernon McGee's commentary, and he shares the following experience, and I'm just going to read it just like he wrote it. He said, after speaking at a baccalaureate service in a prep school in Atlanta, Georgia, I went to a doctor's home for dinner, and I was asked if I knew what was the most important part of my body while I'm up there speaking. And I said, of course, it was my tongue. The doctor said, no. No, he said, the most important part of your body today was a member you're not conscious of. It was your big toe. See, if you didn't have a couple of big toes, you wouldn't have walked up there and you wouldn't have stood there. Well, he's maybe overstating that it was more important, but he's trying to prove a point. Without those big toes, you wouldn't have walked up there. I've been a pastor for 35 years. Not once my big toes have said, you know what, Art, I'm tired of people always seeing your lips and your hands. I get no attention. I want you to take off your shoes. I want you to take off your socks. And I want you to show me. I want you to show my big toes to everybody. I mean, after all, I'm important. I'm important. My wife tells me to keep my shoes on. She says, they're not that good looking. Oh, they're so important. They're so important. They're best with socks on and shoes on. But oh, what important part they play. What important part they play. That's, friends, the body of Christ at work. I came across an illustration that I had in my file. And it was about a horse pull here in Canada. It didn't say where, but you'll get the point. I'll just read it to you. There is a story told of a horse pull. One horse pulled 9,000 pounds. Another horse pulled 8,000 pounds. Together, you would expect them to pull 17,000 pounds. Not so. When teamed together, they pulled 30,000 pounds. The principle is called synergism. Synergism is the simultaneous action of separate agents working together, which has a greater total effect than the sum of their individual efforts. Now, Bill Lester got it. He understands this kind of stuff. I can see him nodding. I'll read it again so we all get it. The principle is called synergism. The simultaneous action of separate parts working together has a greater total effect than the sum of their individual efforts. That's what happens when all of us get together, get connected together, and work together. Close with this illustration. We're done. The great American evangelist, J. Wilbur Chapman, had an opportunity to meet General Booth, who's the founder of the Salvation Army. And at this point, General Booth was in his 80s. And so Mr. Chapman asked him to share the secret of his success. And General Booth hesitated. And then with tears in his eyes, he said, I will tell you the secret. God has all there is of me. There have been men with greater brains than I, men with greater opportunities, but from the day I got the poor of London on my heart and a vision of what Jesus Christ could do, I made up my mind that God would have all there was of William Booth. And if there's anything of power in the Salvation Army today, it is because God has all the adoration of my heart, all the power of my will, and all the influence of my life. Dr. Chapman said that when he went away from meeting with General Booth, he knew that, quote, the greatness of a man's power is the measure of his surrender. Let's stand in prayer and then we'll close with a worship song. Let's stand. Our Father, thank you for these tremendous, important truths that become so personal to each one of us. All of us were meant to hear this again today. To be informed or to be renewed, to be motivated, to be reminded, but to be prodded, to draw again near to you and surrender ourselves to again drink of your Spirit and be that faithful part of the whole of this church, this community, the body of Christ. And I thank you for the whole. I thank you for what we are together. But God, we're still praying for the parts that aren't a part of the whole. We're still missing pieces. We're missing people. People willing to say, yes, yes. I want to do my part. I want to be my part. That Jesus can do that full work in this community. That as this church is strengthened and as it grows by every part being faithful, we in turn will find the joy and the satisfaction of reaching our personal destiny, who we are, what we are in Jesus, to serve you, to bring you glory and honor, to see you at work in the different parts, but as we pull together in our synergism to do so much more. Thank you for Faith Community Baptist Church. Thank you for every part. Help us all to do our part to make this place whole. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.